Because we have a king.
All right.
Yes.
Who is working on our behalf, working all things together for our good. Mm-hmm. So we are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the king who, together,
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by the Father, took on human flesh, in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen. Minister Sarah is going to lead us with responsive reading this morning.
All right.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Responsive reading is going to be Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9, New International Version. Here is my servant, who I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets.
A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands put their hope.
This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it.
I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness.
Together.
I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you.
Lord, thank you again for allowing us a space to come together and just worship you in all genuine, Lord. Thank you for the vulnerability that we show on a daily basis and allow us to grow in humility and obedience for your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Aren't y'all glad to be together?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't y'all glad to be together? It's hard to worship without other people. It's hard to sing without other people.
Yes, it is.
So we're here, and we're here not that we're asking the Lord to come in, because he's already here, because we're here. to you, and you are welcome, like you invite somebody in.
Welcome into this place.
You desire to abide in the
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good
morning. All right. So y'all pretty much know what the announcements are. But do not forget, 6 o'clock on Mondays, Deaconess June is teaching her class on 2 Peter with the book 2 Peter by Charlie Avila, chapter 8, speaking about the judgments of water and fire. The questions are over there in the yellow folder, so don't forget to grab those. Also, don't forget, on Tuesdays, Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk with Training Day. Y'all know how he used to be on Saturdays, and he would have like 40 minutes and not nearly enough time, so he's had his own hour for a while. And if you're not tuning in, please do.
Yeah, he's a
kid. Amen. Yeah. And if you don't want to listen to him live, he does post it on YouTube as well. So make sure to check him out. He says things that Pastor O usually don't say.
No, that's true.
So, way more extra. All right, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, Bible reading class on Blog Talk Radio. Sister Keena, we so happy to see her, her little scooter and everything. She's teaching Ezekiel 36 to 40. The questions are also over there on the table. If you don't want to take the paper, check your email. If you don't want to check the email, go to the church website. Friday at 7 o'clock, Deaconess Kathy is with Bring Back the Family on Blog Talk Radio. On Saturdays, 11:30, Pastor Janice has her women's Bible class. So if you're here, you want to get in, talk to Janice. If not, you go on our church website. There is a link there under Bondage Breaker Ministries. You can get that info. Also, we want to say, again, Pastor Sarah Tate is graduating again. Davenport University, Grand Rapids location, commencement is on Sunday, April 30th at 2 o'clock. You don't need any tickets, so if you want to participate, make sure you do. Everything that we do on Blog Talk, recorded, archived, and free. I say it all the time, you get your whole Christian life together. You just listen to Blog Talk Radio. Let's see. I'm reading off my Saturday announcements, so I'm skipping stuff. If you want to pay tithes and offerings, okay, rfcm.org. The prayer list, when we have prayer, will come up. It's on there. Okay, so it's on there. Birthdays, Pastor, who again? I'm sorry, Pastor Jonathan Tate. his birthday was on the 1st. Alana celebrated her 22nd birthday on the 7th. Amir celebrated his 19th birthday on the 7th.
Okay.
Daylin celebrated her birthday on the 8th. I don't know how old Daylin's gonna be, 8 or 9?
10.
9?
10?
10. Okay.
Wow.
So she can rhyme in a minute. All right. James McClendon celebrated his birthday on the 10th, and Deaconess Drew Rogers is celebrating her birthday on the 22nd.
Darius has a birthday, St. Patrick's Day.
Come on!
St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. All right.
And that's Darius.
All right. Okay. All right. And I think that's it, you guys. I read a bunch of stuff on Saturday that we don't have time for today. I haven't found a devotional quite short enough to read Sunday mornings, but I'm working on that. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
It's time for offering. Time for giving, so you see the deacon. Prepare your envelopes. Take your time during this next song while we're singing. We'll go on to the next song. Stand on your feet so you can be in a better condition to give.
Okay.
Come on, get this right. Let's work these bodies out. Come on. Yes. Y'all gonna get a workout on this song.
Open your mercy, captured by your grace, taken by your faithfulness, the love will never change. Since my eyes are open, I'm lost in your
be mindful of those we are praying not just for but with. We have our sister Rebecca here, but we know our brother Ed is on the road to recovery.
Congratulations.
Our sister Nicole is going through, but she's going through, y'all. Enjoy.
Yes.
We're keeping brother Dwayne Norwood, for those that's sister Sheila's brother, in prayer, and as well as those ministering to him, yes, Rayfield and Jim Rogers. Keila, we pray, and you hear.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
We're keeping Doris Gaither in mind as well, Nico Gaston. We're praying for the River Rouge School District, but not just River Rouge, all schools in public education.
Yes.
It's under attack.
Yes.
Y'all know the church is the one who started educating people publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are seeding it over to the world, and look what they're doing with it.
Yes, come on.
So we got to keep our public schools, because who's going to look out for the least of these if we don't have those? So we're praying and we're grateful again for the River Rouge School District allowing us to be here.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Thank you.
We got prayers for church and resurrection and wisdom in the decisions that they're making. But again, it's good to be in a place where we're home wherever we are.
Amen.
So Jonathan is praying out loud. We all go to the throne together.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. Higher than any mountain. Wider than any sea. Is your love for me. For all of us. So much so that you paid so much attention to details and bringing your son here, and he willingly came and went to the cross in our place, and he set up shop in his kingdom, which is still very much alive in us and in the world. And we say thank you for that. We thank you for allowing us to be participants in your kingdom, active, living, breathing participants. Your masterpiece in this world today. And we say thank you, but Lord, help us to realize the realities of spiritual warfare. Help us to reclaim surrender ground that's been given up, Lord. But we're more than conquerors. And sometimes, Lord, we just need to be still and know that you are God. And that your glory and your praise will exist throughout the world, regardless of if we do it or not.
Amen.
But since you first loved us, help us to show our love in action.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to show our love in return to you.
Yeah.
Lord, you've done so many mighty great things just to get us up from last night to today.
All right.
Yeah.
But Lord, when we look back over our lives, we can say thank you.
Thanks.
We can praise your name for everything you've done for us. But this prayer is answered from long ago or from right now.
Okay.
Lord, you see the list of people that need your comfort, that need your healing, your restoration.
Yes.
And right now, Lord, we place them on the altar before you. And we will continue, Lord, to cast our cares before you, because you simply care for us, even when we don't care for ourselves. And despite us, you continue to love us unconditionally. That should be enough for us to be soldiers of the cross and to execute our mission. To tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
To plant the seeds of salvation. And to point out to them that your kingdom is here.
Yes.
And that they can be a part of it. And it's not just going to last here. It's eternal.
Yes.
It's ongoing. It won't stop. And it's without limit. It's all powerful. It's all knowing. Yes. It's present everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for that.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, for each and every one here. We pray for those listening around the world on Blog Talk Radio, Lord, that we would be inspired and encouraged by you to conquer spiritual warfare, Lord, and to realize the reality of the enemy and the demons and those fallen angels that move and groove throughout this world. But we already have the victory because of what our big brother did on the cross and how he rose with all power and might. And he's still at the right hand of the Father, giving us right standing with God, interceding for us. And we say thank you, Lord. Free us from the guilt of sin, Lord. Free us from generational curses that are passed down through generations and sins that we experience in our lives. We give that to you right now, and we reclaim that surrender ground that we gave up in the garden.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well,
well, with that, there's only one thing left to do.
Wonderful.
Hey, how is everybody doing?
All right.
All right. They told me we were going to be preaching to Alice, huh? Amen. Okay, they didn't tell me that. I just said that.
I'll read it.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm standing here for June. In accordance with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And from Psalms 122:1, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Our pastor is continuing in his teaching on 1 Corinthians. This is part 5. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. He's asked me to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and verses 9 through 13. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 1 through 5, and verses 9 through 13. And it reads as follows. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame. And you should remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in the spirit.
Okay.
And as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man in the name of the Lord Jesus. You must call a meeting of the church. I will be present with you in spirit and so with the power of our Lord Jesus. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved on the day the Lord returns. This is verse 9. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worships idols or is abusive or is a drunkard or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. Outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but the scriptures say you must remove the evil person from among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Yes.
May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. I am so happy for this series. I was a Christian saved for 11 dozen years without a pastor and not studying and rarely reading the word.
Amen.
Drinking spiritual milk and satisfied with being a baby Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I look forward to becoming more mature and growing in the knowledge of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in part 5 of this sermon series and about immature Christians. And I see how this message is an opportunity to eat some spiritual meat and vegetables.
All right.
Pastor O cannot be accused of having a dessert ministry. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
It is clear that we are going to have some spinach this morning. Pastor will add some garlic and onions and make it delicious as it goes down. So this morning, Pastor O will be a chef as he gives us a message that will make our inner man stronger. Thank you, Pastor O, for making spinach taste good to us. Uh-huh. Repeat after me. Master Chef Pastor O. Master Chef Pastor O. Break it down for me.
All right. Good job. Very good job. Very good job. Very good job. Amen. From detective, inspector, to master chef. Not just chef, Ali, master chef. Amen. Can't cook a biscuit. A master chef and a chef. And thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate you.
Yes.
Amen. Woo, let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Heavenly Father, for what we just heard, we should all just open the door to church and go home.
Amen.
But we know there's much more that you want to teach us.
Yes, yes.
And help us to understand this so that we can inherit everything that you have for us.
Right.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me, say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
Be able to hear your word today. And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
Receives your word today.
Lord, receives your word.
I acknowledge to you
that
my ways and thoughts.
My ways and thoughts.
Not like yours.
Not like yours.
But I'm here today.
But I'm here today.
To be transformed.
To be transformed.
To change the way I think.
To change the way I think.
And think according to your word.
And think according to your word.
So I can always know.
So I can always know.
You're good.
You're good.
Pleasing.
Pleasing.
And perfect will.
And perfect will.
For my life.
For my life.
And after what Rebecca just read, we pretty much was listening to the list. And I just told Demetrius, so I got to stay away from me.
You just getting spinach.
Man, that is a list, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a list, and I know when we heard it, we was like, oh, should I leave?
Right.
Is he telling me I should leave? Should I go home? Because I've got more than one thing on that list. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, this is part 5 of the series on the book of 1 Corinthians. As you know, I'm doing what most pastors don't like doing because the more you preach it, the fewer members you tend to have. But we're going through the epistles. We like to hang out in the Gospels and the good part of the epistle, that stuff like Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love God, according to his purpose. But we don't like the part that says if you live by the flesh, then you don't die.
Amen.
Amen. We don't like that, but we like to hear that other part, those verses 28 to the end, because that's awesome, right? But the rest of that calls for some responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so Paul is trying to help the Corinthians to be able to inherit. When we get to chapter 6, he's going to say, don't you know that those who participate or act like this in spiritual maturity don't inherit? Galatians says the same thing in chapters 5. It says that you won't inherit. Now, it's not saying that you won't go to heaven. It's not talking about that. It's not what the thief on the cross, it's not what the rich young ruler wanted from Jesus. He wanted to do what? Inherit eternal life. What we're talking about is inheriting the benefits of the kingdom, okay? And the Corinthians are not doing so hot. Paul testifies in chapter 1 that they have all the gifts. Their spiritual gifts are overflowing, right? But they have immature problems that's making them not be able to experience the benefit of having those gifts. They don't know how to operate in them spiritually. And so they are immature Christians. And immature Christians cannot, I mean, really, when you came in with the baby, you might not like driving home, right? And why don't you just hand the baby the keys, let the baby drive home? Amen? The baby can't drive home, you're not going to do that? The baby's a little immature for that. So the baby can be in the car, but can't drive the car. And see, that's what it's like when you're a spiritual, immature Christian. That means there are things that you can have, but because of your immaturity, you can't handle it. I can't give it to you now.
Okay.
There were things I wanted in my life, like a 69 Roadrunner. wanted it ever since, remember when Squeaky and BJ and John Bishop all bust out with the Cooters and the Roadrunners and the GTXs?
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted one, and that was like back in the 70s, around 72, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I wanted one, but I didn't get one until 91. You know why? Spiritual immaturity, right? Because if the Lord had given it to me, I just would have lost it. Amen. I wouldn't have had it long, like everything else he gave to me before he fixed me. I lost it all.
Okay.
All the money I made from that other job I had, I lost it all. Amen. Everything was gone, and it was all due to spiritual immaturity. And when I got those things, I asked the Lord, why couldn't you, God, right? Why couldn't you give me that stuff back then? He says, think about it. What was you doing with the stuff I gave you back then? I was sad. Okay. There you go. Or just losing it. Driving around in a car with no insurance, and the plate was off another car, which was expired. Okay, and when the police pulled me over twice and asked me about that, I'm like, for real? Amen. Spiritual immaturity is causing them to fall. In chapter 1, the problem came out that they had divisions among them. That's the devil's biggest trick. Divide and conquer. And he does it everywhere. If you're going there, when you get there, he's going to divide and conquer. That's what he wants to do. You can stop anything if you can break up the group. Okay? Remember I told you when Paul saw the Sadducees and the Pharisees in the same room and they was all attacking him, what did he do? He said, brothers, Pharisees, up on y'all, I believe in the resurrection too. Them Sadducees don't. Y'all shouldn't be rolling with them. And so who started fighting?
The Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Amen. So the devil knows how to divide and conquer, and Paul even used that trick himself. He wanted to get the heat off him, he made them go at each other. So that's what Satan is attempting to do in this church. Make them go at each other. Paul explained to them, I know what I know. And I can preach and teach like I preach and teach because of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with me. It's not because Apollos was an eloquent speaker. It's not because Peter was an eloquent speaker or a teacher. It's not because Paul said it to Peter Gamaliel and learned all of this stuff, but it's the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
He is the one who makes it happen.
All right.
Okay, yes, we should read. Yes, we should study. But it's the Holy Spirit who's going to give the increase. The reading is planting the seed. The study is watering the seed. Okay? But only God can do what? Give the increase.
Yep.
Amen.
Make it grow.
And so Paul is teaching them in chapter 2 that it's the Holy Spirit who makes you, makes your gift work, makes your gift shine. But as long as y'all acting like this in chapter 3, he said, I can't even deal with you. You're like babies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Crystal said, I think it was somebody who came up here, Rebecca, we just comfortable being what? Baby Christians. Amen. Why? Because babies tend to get what they want.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they got a weapon. God gave it to them.
They're screaming.
They will cry. And see, we don't like doing nothing long. But I'm telling you, when I was raising my kids, let me tell you, Dion could cry until Jesus get back.
Yeah.
Amen. She could cry until she done died and came back and crying again. Okay? Amen. But babies tend to get what they want from somebody else, right? It's like this one picture I saw. I think it was a gospel picture. This guy sitting in the back seat talking about, do something to make me feel better.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. She looks so much like your mother. She's like, get that boy. Amen, okay? Amen. But God does not want us, look, Jesus said, behold what? I stand at the door and do what?
Knocking.
We've let him in, but guess where we at? We're still in the doorway. We don't want Jesus to come up in the house.
Right.
Because Pastor Jonathan, he come up in the house, Deacon Mackey, he might
change some things.
Oh, Jesus, don't even look over there. You know how these people growing up, you know, they become their parents. You see the commercials where the guy said, don't look at the bushes there, look at mess over there. God, ain't nobody looking at the bushes. Amen. We don't want Jesus to come all the way in, especially in that one room. Amen. And we don't want him to see everything in the house. Come in the living room, Jesus. Amen. If you got any spare, then we got to leave. Okay? Because I got stuff in there. Amen. Nobody to see.
Okay.
Amen. Okay. So Paul is telling them, look, y'all baby Christians, right? You're still at the doorway with Jesus. Yes, we are saved. This church at Corinth, what we're hearing about these people, what we're reading about these people, yes, they were saved. They're an example of us. We should be able to see ourselves in them. I mean, we weren't born mature Christians.
Okay.
We were born baby Christians just like them.
Okay.
And when I came to church, I brought drag racing with me. Sister Deacon, I brought drag racing with me. I brought a sweet G's. When I joined Mount Zion in 1976, I joined this Reverend Sweet G's. Amen. I'm looking all over the audience. Not for Jesus either. Amen. Amen. I'm all the way up in the church, but I ain't looking for Jesus. I'm like, what's up? I'm over there. One time they had to sit me down because this girl told my pastor, don't try to be hitting on me. I'm like, what's up with that? Okay. I had a whole lot to learn. I'm telling you, Alicia's to tell you, their mama tell you, I joined the same church 6 times. My pastors couldn't handle me. He would send me down to the office to sit with Alicia. You need to get a talk to the secretary. Boy, she would just grab me and snatch me. She was snatching people long before people started snatching people. She was snatching y'all back in 78. She was snatching the crap out of me. She's like, boy, you ain't got no sense. But that is spiritual immaturity. Paul says, y'all need to be worried about how you're building. Okay? What have you been doing for God? You know, baby Christians can't do much for the Lord. Why? Because the devil will be like, boom, and they gone. Or he'll make them go somewhere. Somebody will offend them. Oh, we are so easily offended. And then when we get offended, now we knew we were, at first we were holy, holy Christian, right?
Right.
But now that they said something, we're offended, and now we're unholy, holy Christian. And that's when they say, see, that's why I don't go to church.
Yup.
Come on now.
Because they keep running into immature Christians. Yeah. Christians who got Jesus as Savior, but he ain't Lord.
Come on.
He ain't Lord of their walk, and he ain't Lord of their talk. He ain't Lord at work. Okay, the only Lord in church, maybe, sometimes. I left church say too long, many ain't Lord there either. Jesus becomes Lord when you start doing what he says. Amen?
Amen.
Then Pastor Terrence Tate, he said the most, so if you get mad, blame him. Amen, we got a scripture that we like to quote sometimes. He quoted more than me, so you get mad, say it to him. Amen, praise the Lord. Luke 6:46, Terrence say, Jesus say, that why you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say. Now don't you say that all the time. Praise the Lord. He said it all the time. Okay, he ain't answering, but he's shaking his head. Amen. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? Amen. God got something for us. Okay? He had something for me. But I couldn't get it until I matured.
Okay.
There is no way he could have called me the pastor of church in the 70s. No way.
Wow.
So true.
We would have been at the drag strip show. First, we'd have been on the corner of 15th Street.
At Marshall's.
And we'd have, and then we go to the pool room. Then we go to the Betty's to get us a rag.
The burgers.
Amen. Then we run on out to the track, take us up. And there you go. Amen. And that's what it would be. He couldn't have called me. I was just too immature. I didn't even know how to go to church every Sunday. I mean, really. They had this rule. That was the problem, not me. The problem was, if you missed 3 months in a row consecutively, you had to rejoin recently. How would you make a rule like that and you know I'm a member of your church?
Right.
And not normally just go, what, a month out of the year? Maybe. Praise the Lord. But I did join every time I came back. But I ain't get no credit for that. And even when I met my wife, when I finally came back for the 6th time, even she said this time, that's the first thing she said to me. It was so romantic. She said, this time, why don't you stay? Oh, my God, Jesus. You love me already. I'm like, see, she feels me already. She knows all about me. Praise the Lord. And because she knew all about me, I had to pray extra harder for Jesus to get her to marry me. She wouldn't even say she loved me for a year.
Wow.
Keila, I sweet genius, everything I had.
You gave it all.
I went to Jesus and said, Lord, she ain't falling for the okie doke. I mean, she not falling for my hat. You know what he told me? He said, you're going to have to grow up.
Wow.
Really? Seriously? All you got is insults? I need help.
Insults?
Amen. He said, you need to learn how to do stuff regularly. Amen. So what he told me I had to do was learn to love her like he loved church. Amen. So y'all know what I had to do, right?
Tighten your game,
got a new reason for studying the whole New Testament, person. A whole new reason. Jesus said, why can't I get you to do that before? And I'm like, well,
Sheila wouldn't be wrong.
You got me, Jesus. You know how to get me. You brought Sheila. Boom. Then, you know, to get her, I had to get him.
Amen.
He set me up.
It was set.
I wanted to come, I had to mature. I had to stop joining the church every year. That was horrible. I hate the stuff Jesus had me confessing. Because I'm like, Jesus, was I really that whack?
Yes. Not at all.
If I could replay it, you'd be on the ground just rolling. Amen. But to get her, I had to grow up and learn how did Jesus love the church. Now, he had a twofold reason for doing that. It wasn't just for Sheila. And my pastor had told me, see, you got a lot of knowledge, but it's head knowledge.
Uh-oh.
But you don't have it in your heart.
Oh, okay.
I got kicked out the office because I shouldn't have said what I said, okay? But he shouldn't have said, he said what he said first. And I'm demonstrating what? Spiritual what?
Immaturity.
We don't like hearing about us. And when we get challenged that we have to grow up, and start being something different. We have to get tougher. We have to get stronger. We don't like hearing that stuff. It's challenging. And it challenges us. And that's one of the things I noticed about God's word. It will challenge you.
True.
One time I told Jesus, so is the whole Bible against me? Is there nothing in there that agrees with me? He's like, I didn't make you like that. Amen. So when I started reading, and I used to get mad at the Lord, but he would say, I'm just highlighting an area in your life that's blocking me from blessing you.
All right. Wow. All right. I like that.
I'm like so scared. It sounds like someone blessing around the corner, right?
Uh-oh.
They say, yeah, but you over here Christian. You.
Don't.
You're blessing around there, and you over here. You need to get around there. But to get around there, I have to grow up.
Okay.
In other words, I had to put off. You know how Paul says, put off the old man and put on the new man?
Right.
I didn't want to put I thought it was magical, me. Tamika. I thought it was magical. I just get saved and boom.
Everything falls
I'm super
place.
Holy because that's the way folks was in church. They were super holy. I used to say to Jesus, what happened to my salvation? They're praying like theirs. They're all the way holy and don't sin no more. I'm the only sinner in here. Well, that's when I found out people be fake. We put on a good church face. Amen. But what face is
that's
Jesus?
How I got married.
For all of them. Come on, sister. He see all them faces, so you might as well deal with them.
Yeah.
So Paul tells them in chapter 4, this is how you should respond to us. Stop being a baby. Get busy building on the kingdom. But you can't build on the kingdom because you're full of wood, hay, and straw.
Ooh.
Okay? You need to get some precious juice. In other words, wood, hay, and straw is the stuff we got saved. When we got saved, that's what we were.
Ooh,
that's all we were. Oh, you didn't expect no more. We were wood, hay, and straw, stuff, right?
Okay.
But he says, build with precious stones, with silver, with gold, and precious stones. And what is that? The word of God.
Okay.
But we don't have none of that. See, when we get saved, and I think we learned this in Janet's class or some class we had, when we get saved, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll get there, tells us that the Holy Spirit is his job to gift each person that is baptized into the body of Christ. To give them gifts or gift things so they can function for Jesus on this planet. in history, right? Before we go home to heaven. Amen? But in order to operate in those gifts, we have to strengthen ourselves with the Word of God. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do for us. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about all the stuff that we do, right? And then it talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Okay.
Rebecca, I want you to do something right now. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I think it starts at verse... Start reading where it says, then we won't be.
Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church.
Now, before you get there, you have 11 through, what verse was that, like 10 or 9?
14.
Okay, before you get there, he talks about the fivefold ministry of the church. And he ends it by talking about pastors who teach, okay, or pastors and teachers, but he's not really talking about the gift of teachers because he's referring to a local church and what it does.
Rebecca.
So in that context, he's talking about a pastor who is also able to teach. A lot of pastors can preach, but they cannot teach.
Man.
Okay, they just can't do it. They're horrible at it. You can tell a pastor who is horrible at teaching, they'll turn the Bible class into a church service. Okay, it seems more like a church service than it is a Bible class. Can't ask no questions. He's just up there talking.
That's
and
Ken
then
Lock.
When it's over, it's over.
That's Ken Lock.
Amen.
Amen.
What Paul is saying is, once you allow the pastor, the local church and its church school system to educate you, okay, Dr. Tony Evans says that can be accomplished. You can become a mature Christian in 5 years. Jesus did it with his apostles in 3 years. That doesn't mean they're perfect. That means they're old enough now to understand what they need to do. All they needed was power to be able to affect God's will on earth.
Okay.
Because Satan don't want you to. Okay? So Jesus matured them during the time that he was with them. But one thing that you'll notice is that they were with them. They went to all the sermons, they heard all the sermons Jesus preached. Not one sermon did they miss. Every time Jesus struck up a Bible class, they were in that Bible class. And so in 3 years, he had worded them up enough, and they had gained enough experience to begin what we see going on in the book of Acts. The book of Acts can be properly called Acts of Jesus Christ through the church empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's what he wants out of us. But you cannot send a baby to fight a grown man. And if our battle, as Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, well, guess what? Same ain't no Job. Ask Job to come from heaven and tell you, he gonna tell you, go read my book. Same ain't no joke. If God let him, he'll have you on the floor tore up in seconds.
Wow.
Amen?
Okay.
And your only hope is to do what Pastor Terrence Tate preached yesterday. You better learn how to sing in a Philippian jail. You better learn how to be mature enough to know that God got you, no matter what you're going through. Like Pastor Janice Tate just said about Nicole, she's going through. So one day she's going to get to the other end.
Yeah.
Okay, and then she's going to have a testimony. She's going to have a testimony about how God brought me out. But you don't get that being no baby Christian.
Yeah.
When the Lord allows you to be sick, you better have a whole lot of faith. Because it's your faith that's going to make you whole.
Amen.
It's your faith that's going to make you be able to say, your grace is sufficient for me. Because being sick or crippled ain't no joke.
Amen.
tell you something. Your faith gonna have to be right. You can't start hating on Jesus because things going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay.
So Paul tells him you need to grow up. And in chapter 4, he says, you need to look at us, not as these awesome great people that you're putting us on these pedestals. And you got to like this one and not like that one. And like this one over against the other one. That's immature spiritual behavior. You're stupid. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus.
Whoa!
Amen. Well, he was talking to the Corinthians. Not talking to y'all. Unless you got some Corinthians in it. We ain't got none. Y'all ain't from Greece. Amen. Here. Amen. He says you need to grow up. And you should recognize us as people who have been entrusted with the word of God to preach and teach it. And you shouldn't just want one of us. I don't just want Joel Osteen. I don't just want PDJ. I don't just want Joyce Myers. I don't just want Tony Evans. I want all of them.
Yeah.
And when they say something crazy that don't agree with scripture, but something they say the scripture is saying, then I'm going to have to be Berean on that.
Let them
I'm going to have to go home and check that out. And if you cool, cool. But if I come back to church and I just sit there and stare at you like that, then I don't believe what you said. Amen.
Okay.
But Paul said you should look at us like that and not prefer one over the other. Now he's coming to the close of dealing with their spiritual immaturity and the things that Chloe had told him about that was going on in the church. Now he comes to chapter 5, and as you thought it couldn't get worse, now it's real crazy.
Uh-oh.
This boy in the Corinthian church, see, Corinth was a seaport town.
Right.
And they had a temple there with what they call a thousand temple priestesses. They were of the Greek culture. How many of y'all saw the 300? Okay. How many of y'all saw the real 300, the documentary? Well, actually, the movie was really close, except there were no hunchback people and, you know, no monstery looking thing. And Xerxes wasn't pierced all the way from the top of his head to his feet, and 6 feet tall,
right.
and wearing underwear everywhere. He's just, you know. Okay, but they were pretty accurate in their depiction of Greek culture. And if you remember, most of those Greek city states like Corinth, like Sparta, like Athens, right? Like Thespia and like the where the Phoenicians lived, right? Most of those were Greek city states, and most of the time they fought against each other.
Okay.
The biggest of those being Sparta and Athens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then something gave them a reason to fight together, and that was against Xerxes. And so I did a study of Greek culture this week. And sex was real big in Greek culture.
Okay.
And Corinth is in modern day what?
Greece.
Right? And so those little Greek city-states, Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great, coalesced all those states into what we call Greece today. Okay? But they were real still sort of at each other. But Greece was a place, without getting too deep into it, was big on sex.
Okay.
And so in Corinth, even at Ephesus, but at Corinth, they had a temple to Artemis, goddess of the Ephesians, or Aphrodite, the goddess of sex. And so they would literally go to the temple and have sex with the temple priestesses. And this was men and women. So in the Greek culture, sex was rampant and any kind. They had no guidance from God in heaven at all about how to conduct themselves with sex. Just like us. Before we got saved, we did whatever we wanted to do. And even after we got saved, we thanked God for 1 John 1:9 because we still were doing whatever we wanted to do. Okay, I think I had 3 kids before I figured I was supposed to be married and have kids. Amen. And then I got married so I could have sex without getting in trouble. That wasn't a good idea. Okay, but all of that comes out of what? Spiritual immaturity. Or a lack of knowledge of God. Who was it? Pastor Dennis Tate taught in church school yesterday with the Sadducees.
Yeah.
And Jesus told them, you are in what? Error and don't know the scriptures. And since I did not know the scriptures, I didn't think that God had anything to do with sex. Okay? So in the Greek culture, they're pretty much like us before we get saved. We do what we do, right?
Okay.
And even after we get saved, we still kind of do what we do, but at least we know to ask God to forgive us. He forgives us and then works with us to cleanse us. Okay?
Yeah.
But this boy, in this church, 5 years old, because it was planted in AD 50. 5 years old, and this boy is sleeping with his mother, stepmother. Most scholars believe it was a stepmother, but how it happened, had the father divorced her and the son struck up a relationship with her? Okay? Had the father died and the son like, hey, we're going to be Jewish, and I'm going to marry my father's wife and raise her kids to my dad, even though I'm a Greek. Okay, they don't really know the circumstances about how he ended up with her, but they knew that he was with her. You're talking about spiritual maturity. This is it right here, right? How many churches have you ever been to where a son was sleeping with his mother? But this is what's going on. Paul says this kind of behavior don't even happen among pagans. Even pagans don't act like this, and you are what? Christians. Now, we know Paul spent, what, a year and a half preaching and teaching there. And we know after he left, according to Acts chapter 19, first verse, B, A part, Apollos went there, and he stayed for a long time. Amen?
Okay.
So they had a good wealth of knowledge that they could have drawn on, but somehow, some kind of way, somebody else was getting up in there. We'll get into that as we go forward, and was telling them something else. They were challenging the teaching of Paul. I mean, when I'll never forget this preacher came to me. I had been teaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it was about premarital sex. And the preacher, he wasn't a preacher then, but he was on his way. He said, Pastor, Reverend Overall, can I talk with you? So, you know, we smuggled over into this other section down the church, maybe we smuggled. Y'all remember Smeagles, right?
No.
Really? No. What was that? Star Wars? He hung out with Jabba.
No.
Everything that he's crawling all over Jabba.
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. That's your boy Smeagles.
I wasn't up for that.
So I was like, so boy, you should have never let me saw it. So anyway, we smiggled over to the other side. And he said, Pastor, Reverend, I tell the truth. I started the Negro please him right there on the spot, but I did. I said, what do you mean? He said, are you serious that we can't have sex until we get married? I'm like, well, that's what the words say. I ain't telling you nothing what I did, I tell you that's what the words say. You see, I was always messed up then. But anyway, I told him that's what the word says. That's the expectation, that's the hope, that's the goal. Right?
That's right.
But if you mess that up, do you know about this verse over here?
Yeah, you gotta get it.
And keep your boy Donnie McClurkin with you. Because we fall down. We get up. Amen.
Go ahead, Red.
But he wanted to know. He was serious about that. He saw it as a struggle. Only your love for God can give you the strength you need to overcome sin.
Yes.
Amen. That's after we're saved, that's it. Only your love for God can help you to overcome sin.
Yes.
You have to say yes to him and no to you. You have to do what Jesus did out there in the garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he considered, and being fully God, he could look forward, okay, and see where he was going. He could see every punch. He could see them pulling his beard. I couldn't even imagine somebody pulling that much hair out of my beard. I couldn't imagine somebody spitting on me. I hate that. Okay, I couldn't imagine somebody punching me in my face with all their might and saying, prophesy, who hit you? But Jesus saw all of that. And then looked at me, Pastor O, and he said, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now see, that's where that's our goal, to be like Christ. Okay? When sin approaches, and see, look, the devil ain't going to approach you. He is not gonna come to me and be just talking about, you know what, you need to go shopping. I'm gonna be like, the devil, that's a lie. I'm gonna go talk to Sheila. That ain't happening. You need to go to the store, see what they got. What you talking about, Jeds? I go to Jeds or I go to Summit Racing. Okay, I'll see what they got. Man, I go to O'Reilly's AutoZone, see what they got. But if the devil come at me talking about, you know what, you got that new racetrack, when you get it built, you need to let Jonathan preach, Janice preach, Dance preach, Sarah preach, and you going out to the track. You ain't got to be there just because you the pastor. That's me Sunday old too. You know? You deserve it. You at church 53 days out of the year. So you deserve it. And I'll be like, I'll be like, now see, you're coming down my street. Now I hear you, devil. But I ain't going. Because you did me like that before, and I couldn't stop. Amen.
Yeah, but I
that's
going.
What Paul is talking about, spiritual maturity. And this boy is sleeping with his mother. They have not grown.
Wow.
The word that Paul gave them, I'm sure it had to include something about sex, but they're not growing. And they're still just the way they were when he left there in AD 50. It's AD 55, and y'all still clowning. And we, from where Rebecca read us, he said, I told you in my first letter. So that means 1 Corinthians is really what?
Second.
Because he's already wrote to them. So he told them for a year and a half. Apollos went there and spent time with them. And here we are 5 years later, and they're still the way they were when they got saved. Paul knows that this is holding them back. God's got a better and bigger plan for your life. But this spiritual immaturity is not allowing you. You know how many people in this life, in the Christian life, in the body of Christ, never ever reached their potential? All of the, you can't tell me Jesus just called you to sit on a pew in church and chew, and that's all you ever do. You ought to have a string of souls that you can drag behind you when you go stand in front of Jesus to be judged.
Amen.
And Jesus ought to say, who are all those people? These are all the people I talked to you about, you, Jesus. These are all the people I taught about you, Jesus. These are all the people I helped, whether they believed in you or not, Jesus. I did what you said. We should be like those folks in Matthew chapter 25. When the owner came back who had given them their gifts according to their abilities, guess what, Matthew? They ran up to him. They saw him and ran to him, talking about, look, you gave me this, I got this. Jesus has given all of us gifts. What we got? If Jesus showed up right now and said it's time to show and prove, put it on the table, what you got? How many souls you lead to me? How many folks, souls, saved souls you teach to live for me? How many people can I call on, can I see that you helped in or outside the body of Christ? That's spiritual maturity. That's spiritual maturity. When we recognize that we have the Holy Spirit in us, when we recognize that he has empowered us to go out and be his witnesses. If you're not witnessing for Jesus, you ain't doing nothing for Jesus. Because before Jesus left, he said, you shall be my witnesses in your near surroundings, Jerusalem. Start in your house and your street. Go to Judea, the community, the county you live in, the state. Go to Samaria. You know the people we don't go around because they ain't saved and they don't act right. Mm-hmm. I don't like hanging around them kind of people. I like being around uplifting Christian people. They're already saved, so
come on.
Amen. Go to Samaria. The places, the people we don't like, and don't become Samaritan.
Okay.
Hey, man, like Pastor Ron told me, yeah, I hear your testimony of how Jesus lift you up out the garbage. Don't you go back down there on Saturday and get back in the garbage. I didn't. Praise the Lord.
All right.
Praise the Lord. I was real careful. I was like your boy, what was that, Top Cat?
Oh.
Remember Top Cat?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he lived in garbage can.
Top Cat.
Everybody don't know Top Cat. Top Cat lived in garbage cans and ate fish with no meat on the bone.
Right.
That's what Fishbone got
there. That was the old cartoons.
Amen. So Paul tells them, look, you need to, and that's to come to a close, we're going to talk about excommunication. It's a thing.
Okay.
I know in the Catholic Church, they can excommunicate you out the body of Christ, so they say.
Right.
But Paul is saying, for the sake of your church, for the good of your church,
yes,
you need to excommunicate home.
Okay.
Not out the body of Christ, but out the church. Now here's how Jesus taught us to do excommunication. Jesus said, you go to them. And see, most of us are going to be blocked right there.
Because
we like to talk about people behind their back. We don't like to talk to the people about that the people we're talking about. So Jesus says, go to them or shut up. Go to them. See, you know, that's what you heard me say it before. I said it again. I love Pastor Tate. Why? Because she got something to say to me. She going to say it. Man, I ain't got the word. If she telling you, she done told me. Amen. You don't hear me get up here and say she talking about me behind my back. No, she be talking about me to my face. Amen.
Right, right.
That's
right.
My girl, though. Amen. Because she understands me. Hey man, she might go in. She gets me. Amen. Woo. Amen.
Yes, talking about you.
So Paul say, look, you know, as he says, go to them yourself, right? But if they don't listen to you, go and find two more people to go with you. Okay, so that every word may be established. In other words, you got witnesses.
Right.
If they don't hear you then, bring it to the church.
Right.
And if we bring them up here in the church and we say, what's up? And they still tell the whole church, all y'all, step off. But then that's when Jesus said, you tell them to step out.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
And see, that's when Jesus says, look, you can't love them more than you love me. You know who them is, right?
Yeah.
You cannot love them more than you love me. Like, if you lived in my house and you got sinfulness going on, you get out. Because I love Jesus more than I love you. You know, I ain't going to mess up in my house. You ain't going to come. I'm in my house trying to get Jesus to bless my house. And you come, sister or mister, defile.
Right.
Yes. Okay, I'm gonna have sister or brother defiler living in my house. I'm over here walking as straight as I can so Jesus will bless my house. Mm-hmm. So he can come in my house and call it his house.
Yes.
But here I got the defiler sitting up in here. Defiling it.
Yes.
Amen. See, Jesus said, I don't know, it'll probably come to me, but there was a man who got punished in the Bible. And he got punished, not because of something he did, but because of something he knew somebody else was doing and said nothing about it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's
new. I get enough trouble all on my own. I don't need you getting me in no trouble. So Paul says, look, you need to excommunicate homie, right?
Okay.
Not as somebody who's not a brother or sister in Christ, but as somebody, he says, let them go so the devil can work them. How many of you know that the father let that prodigal son go?
Yeah.
Did the devil get with him?
Sure did.
Oh, yes, he did. He was in the club throwing it up. And one time he threw his hand up and nothing come back down. And y'all know how them, because you got money friends is, right? When your money gone, they was there for the money. They was like, oh, dude, I got to go. I can't help you. The devil reduced him down to what?
To he was big.
He looked at what the pigs were eating.
He was in the biggest stage.
And Marilyn, he got the munchies on what pigs was eating. That's when he came to himself. Amen. Amen. So that's what Paul is saying. Excommunicate him so the devil can have his way with him. But if you look at 2 Corinthians around chapter 2, verse 5, he says about this person, bring him back in. Okay? Receive them back as a brother. Why? Because you don't want to shun them too long. Sometimes you can shun people and make people feel so bad they will commit suicide.
Oh, wow. Yes, they will.
Paul says we don't want him to become discouraged and think God hate him. What we want him to do is recognize his sin, yes, repent of it, and come back into the fellowship.
Yes. Yes.
Paul said, because we're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. And what did he mean by that? See, the devil wants us to act nasty on people. He wants us to treat people bad. Galatians tells us clearly how we're to respond to people who get caught up. Galatians says, if you see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, not something you think is wrong, but something God says wrong.
Okay.
If you see them doing something that God said, see, because you might not like something. And now you don't want nobody else to like something. And you think in Romans chapter 12 is like, hey, that's, you don't like it, you don't like it, okay? But I better not see you doing it, because if you're doing it, then you're sinning because you said you didn't like that. If you don't like drag racing, I don't want to see you at the drag strip. Don't be walking up behind me talking about, Pastor, oh, is that you? I'm like, yeah, is that you? Amen. So Galatians tells us, if you see a brother or sister doing something God said is wrong, those of you who currently walk in right with the Lord, those of you who are spiritual, those of you who have matured enough, go to them. Look, watch this. Here's your motive to restore.
Right.
Yeah.
That's your motive.
Right.
So Paul is telling them, excommunicate him, but your motive is what? Restoration.
Yeah.
That's your motive. And then here's your method. How is your method? He says, restore them how?
Gently. Right.
Considering yourself. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be dating my stepmom. Yeah. Amen. Oh, we like to think we ain't that evil. Really? Really? Which one of us want to stand up in here and have Jesus show the whole tape of our life, just the bad stuff? Yeah. Just the bad stuff, not the stuff we call good, but all the stuff that we 1 John 1:9.
Oh, no.
All of us got crap. So he is saying, this is not about kicking somebody out of the church. This is about restoration. This is about healing. This is about restoring. So Paul says in Galatians, if you see somebody messed up, you walking straight, go to them and help them up. I mean, crippled people can't help crippled people up. Amen?
There I go.
So if you're currently walking right with the Lord in your spiritual maturity, go and help them up to where you are.
Yeah.
Paul tells them, and this is where we close. He says, I wrote to you before in my first letter,
mm-hmm,
not to associate with people doing all those things that Rebecca read. Okay? He said, but I wasn't talking about the world, because we love to point at the world. But Paul says, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about y'all. Oh, he wasn't talking about me because I wasn't there. He's talking about y'all. I just lost all my time. Everybody back in time. Amen. He says, don't hang with these people. See, that gets hard because all of us got messy friends, messy family. Amen. And what Paul is saying is, don't hang with them. Don't keep company with them. Don't hang around them. Don't be around them. Be cordial, be nice, be kind, but don't make it a habit of hanging with them.
Keep moving.
Don't get to running with people who running from me, because you ain't going to get nowhere.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
Now see, that's tough. That's when we have to love Jesus more than we love them. Jesus said, you cannot call yourself a servant of mine and love your mother more than me.
Oh,
love your father more than me.
Right, right.
If your mother, your father can tell you to do something I told you not to do, then you out of pocket. If your family, your friends, your acquaintances, your bosses, whoever can tell you to do something outside of me, can convince you to sin, amen.
Okay.
You love them more than me.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many times But people warned Sheila not to get into stuff I was into, and she was like, you ain't got to worry about that, homie. Ain't even a thing. He can be as crazy as he want to be. I ain't even trying that. That's when you have to love Jesus. I had gotten so mad in our marriage that one night the Lord fired up the Holy Spirit in Sheila, and we was walking to go in the house here. You know what she said to me? If you're going to keep on with this, you don't even need to come in. You can just go and walk up. Oh, yeah, that's when you got to love Jesus more than you love.
Come on.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah. All right.
All of these things might sound, well, why do you, how you get back? Stop doing what she's saying. I'll stop doing that. Amen. So 36 years of not doing that.
My man, congratulations.
You know, because she was not going to walk away from Jesus with me.
Yeah.
Except for that time we went to the drag strip. I convinced her to go to the drag strip with me, and I'm close with this.
Oh.
I convinced her to go to the drag strip with me, Maggie. And we went.
On a Sunday?
On a Sunday.
Oh,
and, well, it was her idea to skip to go to the zoo that time. But anyway, we went to the drag strip. And, yeah, I know, my cousin was in there. But then we went to the drag strip. It was a beautiful day and a wonderful day. We sitting there in a race. We get all the way to the last race. And you're not going to believe what happened. It just, crystal mirror, it just turned dark and boom, rain just started falling. At the last race. So anyway, now we driving back to the crib, right? Because we got to leave, Chardonnay. We got to leave because it's raining like crazy, cats and dogs. We going down this country road. Plank Road.
Oh, Miami. That Plank Road, yep, to 23.
And you can't see nothing but fires on both sides.
Yeah.
And lightning.
And a
bridge. Boom! In the street, boom! I'm like, Jesus, 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 amen. Next Sunday, we was on Front Row. Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul says, look. Look out for your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
Okay? If you see somebody falling, don't go over there big-headed, egotistical, holier than thou. But go over there and help them.
Yes.
Okay? Remember, the reason you're going over there, you might see a lot of people like that. Say, look, I'm going over there to do what I can to restore them. And when I get over there, I'm going to treat them like I would want Jesus to treat me when I fall.
Right.
I'm going to be gentle.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm going to consider that it could be me.
Yeah.
I ain't no better than him.
Wow.
It could be me.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So Jesus says, I didn't come to judge those outside. God don't judge those outside the church. And I tell you to be running about, always talking about what unsaved people do. I told you to judge those inside the church.
Right.
Look at each other. If you see a brother or sister whose immaturity is showing, okay, ask Jesus to help you show them a way to step up.
Amen.
And in most cases, you're going to be left praying.
Okay.
Because you might go saying, if they're immature enough, you might be fighting because they're going to cut you out. Then you mind your own business. So you have to work this thing the right way. Amen.
Okay, that's true. That's real.
Lord God, Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father,
yes,
we surrender to you right now our immaturity.
Yes, I do.
And we accept right now how you're going to make us mature.
Again, I do.
You told us that if we study to show ourselves proof, we won't act like Christians who need to be ashamed because of their spiritual immaturity.
Yeah.
But we will, in fact, become mature Christians who can rightly divide the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Lord, you can use us. You can send us. You can take us to those places where those people are who need to know you, where those people are who need to learn more about you, where those people are who need help from you, whether they're saved or not. So, Lord, help us to grow up and become all that you intended for us to be when you saved us, Lord. You said about Jeremiah, before your mother and father even knew you or formed you in the womb, I knew you. You said that you had sanctified him, that you had set him apart for your service.
Yes, he did.
And Lord, you said you ordained him to be. And all of this before he got here. And since we know from your word that you're not a respecter of persons, then you did the same thing for each and every one of us. And proof of that is 1 Corinthians 12, where the Holy Spirit gives out gifts liberally to all those baptized in the body of Christ Jesus. When we get home, we want to be just like those folks who you gave gifts to.
Yes.
Now, over there in Luke, you gave each one 10 minutes. That means all three of them had the ability to turn the 10 minutes to 20, as the one did. So that tells us that even though they had the ability to do it, they just didn't go all in like the one did. So Lord, help us to know first what you've given us. And then help us, Jesus, to build on that. So that when you come back to get us, whether it's a John 14 thing where you come to receive us unto yourself to take us to be with you where you are, that we'll be able to go. Or if it's a general rapture, the whole church is going. And we all stand before your judgment seat. We not only want to hear you say, well done, but we want to hear you say, go over there. That is your treasure in heaven. You earned it while you was down there on the earth.
All right.
Lord, we thank you for always loving us and telling us the truth. Yes. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
what's up, Tan? How you doing, partner? Good, good, good. Hey, Auntie Mel. Yeah, I get over there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.